Future Meeting Strategy Implementation, October 15th, 2014.
So it's open up. Okay, we'll get started. Welcome. Thank you guys for taking the time to join us today. This discussion is going to be a reminder to the community about the recommendations made by the Meeting Strategy Working Group, which was a community-led initiative to propose a new decision for ICANN meetings, a new vision, I should say, 2016 and forward. You're going to hear from a few of those community members today from the Meeting Strategy Working Group, but we'll start with Sebastian Bachelet, who is a member of the ICANN board and was instrumental to the creation of the Meeting Strategy Working Group.
Thank you very much, Tanzanika. I am very happy to go with you on the proposed implementation of the Meeting Strategy Working Group report. If you recall, in London, the board resolved to take a resolution and ask in order to inform the board discussion on the Meeting Strategy Working Group recommendation, the board directs the president and CEO through his designee, and I guess that we have around the table those people in charge of, to propose a plan for implementation of the recommendation contained in the report to be provided to the board for consideration in sufficient time for possible implementation for meetings to be held in calendar year 2016. Then first, thanks to the staff for the very good work they have done to bring us this proposal today, and thank you to allow us to have this discussion with the community before it goes to the board, hopefully in the next weeks, I hope. Some members of the Meeting Strategy Working Group will present you the current implementation proposal. Donna will go through the guiding principles that the working group take into consideration to develop the proposal. Hannah will talk about the meeting A, and you will see in more detail what is A. Tijani will go through meeting B, Eduardo to meeting C, and I guess that Nick will present the geographic rotation, and then Tanzanika will give us the next step and some conclusion. And I hope that if you have questions and remarks, it will be the good time to do that. And thank you once again for attending this meeting, and I give the floor to Donna, please.
Thanks, Sebastian. Donna Austin, I represented the registry stakeholder group of the GNSO in this working group. This was a bit of a challenge for us because there's so many different ways that you could have sliced and diced this. So in order to work out what was the more important and how to get the most out of the work we were doing, we developed some guiding principles about how we do the work and what was important. So ensure sufficient face-to-face time for the SOAC policy development processes. It's a critical task that's undertaken during each meeting, so we wanted to ensure that there was enough time for that to continue. Develop the next level of equal-footed cross-constituency interaction and facilitate sufficient delegate networking possibilities. So one of the things that we acknowledged is that generally most of the constituencies work within a closed room with no windows and don't do much interaction across the board. So we tried to find a way to expand that a little bit. Promote efficient use of community and ICANN time with reduced session conflicts. I think I heard there's about 230 sessions at this meeting. They've been growing over time, and one of the big concerns is that there's not enough time. There's too many sessions for people to be able to keep up with, so we need to find a way to kind of cut those back and reduce the conflicts. Maximise qualitative participation, so ensure capabilities for remote participation. Provide sufficient language services, so interpretation, translation. Balanced geographic rotation versus sublocation. So we actually had some discussion about the benefits of continuing the geographic rotation as opposed to hub locations. And I think what we've agreed to is to continue the geographic rotation. outreach with local communities. So this was about, you know, finding opportunities that while we are in those local communities, what outreach opportunities are there for the different organisations within ICANN. Educate new and existing participants on issues being addressed by ICANN. That's a huge challenge for anybody. Minimise conflicts with other internet community events. So oftentimes ICANN has had a consistent 3 meetings a year, but there are other meetings that we try not to clash with. And visa availability. This was Tijani's advocated very formidably for visa availability. Develop a design that allows for growth. So increasing, you know, we've got increasing number of topics. The constituency groups are getting better, bigger. The attendees are getting a lot more as well. So how do we develop a meeting that's going to make sure that we can get the most out of the time we have available? Serve to increase the credibility of ICANN with the broader global community. So I guess that's just a meta objective in, you know, something to keep in back of mind when we're looking at developing the meetings. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anna Neves. I'm from GAC. So to present this meeting A, so we are continuing to have 3 meetings a year. This meeting A, you will not see so many changes except 2. So for the time being, we call the day 1 Monday. But lots of working groups and other meetings are taking place since Saturday. So now we'll start day 1 on Saturday. And day 6 will be on Thursday. So it means that what was more or less informal, Saturday and Sunday, now it's formal. And another thing that we found that it will be very useful for the community is to have 2 public forums. So we will have one in the beginning of the week and the other one at the end of the week. So we think that it will be very useful for the community to come, to ask, to raise the questions that they are worried about or concerned, or they want more development. And at the end of the week, we'll see if the questions are the same, if they are different, what happened and what was the evolution. So we think that it is an improvement of what is nowadays, what we have nowadays. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Tijani?
Thank you, Sébastien. First of all, I would like to tell you that the new proposed strategy is composed of 3 different type of meetings. The first one is what Anna just presented. It is the first one of the calendar year. The second one is this one, the B, that I will present. It will be the middle one. And the last one, Eduardo will speak about it. It will be the last one of the year. So meeting B will be the second meeting in the year. Duration is only 4 full days. 3 of those full days are focused on board and SO and AC work. And 1 day is fully focused on the community outreach. So as you see in the bottom of the... Who is playing?
Yeah, because there is a problem of... there is 1 line missing.
I know why. I solved it here.
And they can't see it remotely, so we're just...
All right, then let's apologies. Let's have the Jenny going and bring the screen back up.
Okay, so the duration is only of 4 full days. 3 of them are focused on the board and the ESO and AC's work. And the last one, not the last one, and one of the 4 days will be focused on the community outreach. So if you look at the bottom of the screen, this is the 4 days, the layout of the 4 days. The first day will be, and it is flexible here, we say the first day, but there is not a defined order. It will be fully dedicated to the local community outreach. The second day will be for intra-community work. Third day, the same. And the fourth day will be for the inter-community work. You can constate or remark that we have one full day for the community outreach. That means it is the quarter of the meeting. The quarter of the meeting is for outreach. This is very important. I will tell you why. You remember we were always saying that we want to go to the community. We want to go to people where they are. This configuration will help us to do so. Why? Because this meeting doesn't have sponsor exhibition. There is no opening ceremony, no public forum, only working sessions. The consequence will be less attendees, less noisy sessions, only working sessions. What does that mean? That means that we will be using smaller venue, and when we use smaller venue, that means that we will be able to go to the regions that wasn't possible to go there because they didn't have the infrastructure for such a huge meeting that we have now. So this configuration will help us now to go everywhere in the world. This is an element of inclusion. And this will make us go to people where they are, as we always wanted to do. So smaller size of the venue, that means less rooms, smaller rooms. We can go to all the regions. More time will be focused on the outreach, community outreach. So the third time of one over four of the time of this meeting will be dedicated to the outreach. And the outreach of the local to the local community is one of the most important points, because it is not interesting to have always the same figures, the same faces, always to the same people. So there is not an added value. We need people. We need to make people enter into the system, and this is one way to do so. Another important thing, we will have no more session overlap. Because we have less, segmented work. We have 1 day for intra or 2 days for intra community work. So we will not be divided and between working with its own community and go to the inter-community working groups. Second, the meeting is not too huge to have so many sessions, so we will not have overlap of the sessions. And we will concentrate more and more on the intra and inter-community work, which is the most important. Yes? Yes. Yes, yes, you are right. I am sorry. Yeah. Inter-community is very clear. So that means that JNSO with ALAC, with CCNSO together, they work together. This is the inter-community work. Intra-community work, that means that you work in your community. Each community work in its own work. This is what is the difference between those two category of work. So we concentrate on more on those works, on the effective work, if you want, And I think that this kind of meeting will solve a lot of problems that we had before. More or less, this review was based on the fact that we cannot find a huge venue for the ICANN meetings. With this configuration, now we will be able to go to all the regions, even those that don't have a huge venue. Before giving the floor back, Sébastien, I would like to say that I was really, really pleased to work with this dream team. Really, they are a special team, and they was always helping without trying to impose anything. And now they have Maya, and Maya also is a wonderful person. So you are really lucky. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani, and I share your sentiment here about the great team we have to organize the meeting. Eduardo, please, can you go to the next slide, please?
Thank you, Sebastian. This is the meeting, you know, with the big meeting. And it's really focused to showcase ICANN. And as you can see, is very similar to the first meeting, except that has one more day. This is the meeting where most people that come are replacing other people. It happens in this meeting, and it happens almost at the end. And as such, the wrap up sessions and other intra community work ends up in day 7. But basically, you have the same structure as the first one, where you have 2 public meetings, and there is a slot for high interest topics today. So it looks the same, but basically it's you know where everything happens, you know, and this is what we know. We know ICANN to have, you know, the AGM meeting. It's basically at the end. So this meeting C. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess now it's Nick, the big boss of the meeting team.
Well, thank you very much, Sebastian. We've noted through a couple of the presentations that there is a need to continue geographic rotation of ICANN meetings, especially to those locations that have been unable to host in the past because they do not have the facilities that are of the size that are necessary. We find a lot of that in Africa, in Latin America. So what you see in front of you now is a proposed geographic rotation that takes into account all of the different meeting types, all 3 of them, and how we might place them in the different regions. You can see that Africa and Latin America are home to quite a few of the I don't want to say smaller, but reduced scope ICANN meetings, so that we can go to places that we've been unable to go to before. And what we've shown you is a 5-year rotation and how each geography would get the same number of meetings over that 5 years. The Meeting Strategy Working Group has given staff the latitude to adjust this schedule based on availability of facilities, time of year, etc., but to maintain the principle of continuing to do geographic rotation and not to utilize hub cities as has sometimes been suggested in the past. So that's how we propose to roll this up.
Thank you, Nick. Tanzania, almost the last word. No, maybe you will have plenty of questions, but go ahead for the last slide. Thank you.
So I'm just going to go over the next steps for implementation. The first task we have is to seek approval for future dates and the regional rotation, which we have shown you to a degree. And a lot of work has already actually been done on this to find dates. We take the time to look at all holidays, every holiday you can think of, also at celebrations, observances, and then very importantly, we go to look at all of the different community events that are going on so we can avoid all of those and find the right dates to set the meetings. We also need to develop requirements for the three different formats and figure out how we're going to move forward with getting hosts to engage in the meetings locally. We are going to work with our SOs and ACs on scheduling needs. I think this is probably one of the biggest areas that we have to work in, because we need to really get into some smaller meetings with each of our groups and figure out what their needs are, how much time they can dedicate to different topics, meeting with each other and meeting by themselves. Then we need to engage our own staff in designing outreach programs based on the recommendations to create some days where we are really doing a lot of outreach. And then, of course, we need to develop a final implementation plan to submit to the board for approval. And we are looking at doing that very soon, since we got to get this in play by 2016. So next, we are going to take questions. And I know you have tons. Do I have one here?
Maybe you can reverse and ask the question to the people who are in the room who are concerned, because they will have to help you to organize all that, what they think about it. If it's something they think it's could work, they have ideas that something is maybe challenging or whatever. Go ahead.
What's the feedback that you've had about meeting B? Because that's where the biggest changes seem to lie. What feedback have you had from the SO and ACs in particular, but from the wider community?
The representatives of the meeting strategy working group, you see four here today, there are a lot more, and they represented the SOs and ACs. So we had the input directly from the SOs and ACs to develop this. This also went through a public comment period where we received feedback. Tanzanika is the one who worked on that, and she may be able to add a little bit more detail than I. But there was no fundamental disagreement. The need to continue to provide the opportunity for the SOs and ACs to do their work caused us to look at a three-meeting rotation. There had been some ideas floated a while back that since I've been around, and certainly before my tenure, 6 years, to go to two meetings a year. And we found that that was not a viable solution because it didn't allow enough time for the SOs and ACs to do their work. So what you see is a hybrid of that idea, two meetings a year, to develop that middle meeting. Now, we need to educate the community, and we have our VP of comms in the room, Duncan Burns, who will be working very closely with us to make sure that the community understands what that meeting is and why they may or may not decide to attend that meeting. So it's a fundamental change. It's going to be, you know, ICANN has always had this, I've been to 30 meetings, I've been to 40 meetings. Well, you may not want to be at meeting B unless you're really focused on the work of the SOs and ACs. There has been no significant pushback because it was the program was developed by the SOs and ACs fundamentally.
We actually have a question on Adobe Connect from Michelle Chaplow. She's asking, who are the staff members that are going to be responsible for seeing the meeting strategy working group recommendations through? I certainly know that's going to be myself. Nick is going to be part of that. Sally Costerton is going to stick with us. Duncan Burns is going to definitely be there. And I have to say, the rest of the meetings team is definitely going to be a big part of helping see this through, who are all sitting here right now. We have Nancy Lupiano, Laura, Melanie, Erhan, we will all be working on this, and Maya too, who is helping us just to run this meeting right now.
We count on you. And thank you, Michelle, for joining us from Spain and for your work within the Meeting Strategy Working Group. And we hope to see you in a future ICANN meeting soon.
So to do this in an opposite direction, does anyone have a concern about what they see? Are there any issues? Please tell us what they are.
My name's Michelle Scott Tucker. I'm from the ACIG GAC Secretariat. We're the independent consulting firm that provides secretariats of support to the GAC. So I reiterate, I'm not speaking on behalf of the GAC at all. I'm speaking as a support person who provides support to the GAC. I don't know how we're going to fit a GAC meeting into 4 days. And that's my challenge, I know, is to bring that to the GAC, which we're doing tomorrow morning, aren't we, Anna? And talking that through with them. I'll be very curious to see what they say when I ask them the question directly. And I know Anna's asked them directly, and I know Suzanne's been working with them directly as well. The issue will be concentrating their minds, I think, on exactly this issue. I don't have a solution to it, but I might be coming to you for help and support to see how you've done it with other SOs and ACs, if that's okay.
So I think it's probably helpful to clarify. Sorry, it's Sally Costerton. And I'm sure Sebastian will correct me if I'm wrong about this. But this process is done. So we've had board approval. It's been through public comment, and it's had board approval. And because it was, and one of the reasons I think that process was reasonably smooth was because of the way it was built. And including, as you rightly identify, I mean, one of the bigger challenges that we faced, and I'm looking at Anna here because we were together when we did it, was this question as to how we were going to accommodate the needs of the GAC within this evolved framework. One of the challenges of the current setup is that the needs of the GAC drive a lot of other challenges elsewhere in the agenda, and particularly in the choice of location, actually. So this is probably one of the hardest things that we had to debate, and this working group met, just so that you might find this useful to know, for a year, every week, pretty much every week for a year. So there were enormous amounts of hours spent by a group which was quite large. I think I'm looking at Sebastian. I think the working group was about 15 people. 20.
20 people, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, a multiplied number of man hours and women hours, actually trying to crack this problem. And I think what we came up with, this was really, you know, we were very happy that we'd managed to sort of find a compromise position that mitigated most of the problems and maximised the opportunities. What has not happened, and I don't think there is any plan for it to happen, is for this plan to be taken back into the SOEC structures for kind of detailed discussion. No, I know you're not saying that, but I just wanted to, so that you knew that you shouldn't feel that that has to happen, because nobody else will be expected to try to make that happen. And if we did, we would basically go back to the beginning again. Trust me. So there's a point which we reached, and we talked about this a lot as a working group, where we had to take it to the board. And when we did take it to the board, we had to make sure that the board really understood what they were approving, and that this was a truly bottom-up process. But what that meant was that the bottom-up was one way. You know, the door shuts behind it. It doesn't then become a bit of top-down, a bit of bottom-up, a bit of moving around. Now, the one of the reasons we thought having the session here today was useful was for exactly this reason, just validated why we had this meeting. Because actually, in reality, despite the fact that we had all those man hours, been out for public comment, all the SOACs contributed to it, I have no doubt whatsoever, no doubt at all, that when the implementation plan is signed off by the board, which was the next step, as Tansy was saying, at this point, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? A whole bunch of people are going to go, what do you mean you're doing this? And we're going, yeah, we told you like 20 times. There was a public comment, you know, we promoted it, we did this, you know, we dancing girls, the whole nine yards. Anyway, I say that because we know this is going to happen. And this, I think, is also partly why this group is staying at least loosely together, because I think there's a reasonable possibility, and Sebastian will have to judge this, that we may need to at least informally kind of reconvene if at some point after the implementation plan is signed off by the board, we have to kind of remind the community, should put it that way nicely, that they've agreed to this, that they built it and now we're implementing it. So I hope that's helpful background. You know, I think what, in summary, it's a very innovative proposal. It was completely bottom up. But of course, it does involve change. And I know that sounds very, well, obviously it involves change. But you'd be surprised how many people will think that you can mitigate all the problems without actually changing anything.
Wanda?
Just give my personal opinion here. I really appreciate all those efforts. Have been here, I believe only Sebastian is so longer in this area as myself, 15 years. So it's a very interesting perspective that I'm seeing here. And first of all, very hard work. I saw during some times and check out some webs and webinars and blah, 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 but didn't pay so much attention to that as I'm seeing now. And, well, you came out with a very interesting solution. Congratulations. And I hope, of course, there will be a lot of complaints. Always have. You know, but I don't care about complaints all the time, because people need to be heard. And if they have nothing to say, they complain. So, but congratulations, really interesting approach to the meetings. And I do believe that we need come up with some solution for continue to reach people around, because that is continue to be a rich, difficult problem. In the South America region, we are, you know, working hard for doing this and getting better and better with our strategy on that. But even that, we are far away to people recognize, and I believe Africa is the same, recognize what the hell ICANN is about. So we had this in Brazil in particular, we had this time the Net Mundial that hopes a lot because it's all in the media. So people now has a lot of confused issues about what the hell is Net Mundial, what the hell is ICANN. But anyway, it's a beginning. And I do believe that solution that you come out was very, very good one. And thank you very much, because you're going to make it work finally very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. Edmund?
Edmund Chung here. I wonder if you could go back to the slide with the rotation and stuff. So on the topic, I care very much about this, but I haven't really followed it, and this is first time I really take a look at this, and I came in late, so I understand the concern there. I think the community will definitely appreciate the work coming out from here. But that being said, I mean, most of the things that we've experienced at ICANN before tells us that, you know, we should expect potential changes as it goes along. So I mean, that's I guess it's a living, this is a living organization, right? So that's important. So I missed this. I apologize immediately. So the what are the number of kind of people there are different size of meetings anticipated. I think that's very innovative. What's the difference anticipated at this point?
I'll take that one on, Edmund. We don't intend to limit participation at any of these meetings. What changes the facility size is predominantly the number of sessions and the size of those sessions. And when I say that, it's the physical structure of the room. For instance, we can scale from 1,500 delegates to 3,100 delegates with the same size facility. It gets a little bit more crowded, but you don't necessarily have to change your meeting room infrastructure to do that. So I believe that the meeting A and meeting C will be typically sized as they are now. Meeting B is the one where I think there just won't be a lot of demand from the community to attend that meeting. It's our job to communicate very effectively what the content of the meeting is, the types of sessions that will take place. But I think in and of itself, the agenda will drive a reduction in the number of delegates who attend. As Tijani pointed out earlier, there won't be a sponsor area. So all of the sponsors that we have here in purple jumpsuits and other flora and fauna, you're just not going to see them. And when you look at meetings and you look at, we do meeting counts for every session that we run, we never see 2,000 people sitting in meetings at any given point in time. So there's a lot of other business that takes place at ICANN meetings. And I think that will be the limiting factor for meeting B, that people will understand that they don't need to be there or don't want to be there. My guess, I can't guess at this point, Edmund, how many people will come, but the number in my mind is 1,000. However, the meeting facilities are going to be fundamentally different than they are today, which then allows us to reach out to places in Latin America like Santiago and Lima, who have wanted to host an ICANN meeting for years and years and haven't been able to because of the size of the facilities. Well, guess now we can go there. Now we can go into Africa and to almost every country in Africa and hold an ICANN meeting. So this is the added or the side benefit, if you will, of the meeting B format.
I just want to add one thing. It's that, and to do that, there are some consequences. Then the community have to agree that we need to do this geographic rotation, and then we need to adapt the way the meeting is organized. And then the way of each SO, AC, etc., organize themselves for the work during this, in particular, the B meeting. But also the C meeting will have other challenges. It's really... You can't have, as we say in French, le beurre et l'argent du beurre, the butter and the money of the butter. And it's where we will have some work to do, some communication to take into account. But I am sure that it will be a good improvement. And one point in addition, it's not just we were a multi-stakeholder working group, but I can tell you that one part of the discussion during... at the beginning, was to decide if we will produce one, two, or three scenarios to the community. And it happens that the whole group decide to produce just one because we agree on the solution. And that was not imposed, that was not something I was expecting at all, but I think it's a very good... image that we have, that we agree, and that I hope the rest of the community will follow their representative on this working group. Edmund, you wanted to add something, sorry.
Oh, no, that's a very valid point. Edmund Chong here again. we're not going to stop the purple jumpsuit people. But I'm curious how much flexibility there are in terms of the rotation at this point. Is this cast and sewn? The reason why, and this is a little bit more self-interested, we'd love to bring one of the meetings to Hong Kong and Macau soon. Looking at the first C, that's probably tough. We know that March and June works for us. But anyway, so the point is how much flexibility...
Exactly. I will not answer your question. I will make a proposal for Nick. I saw the rotation here. It's very good. But I saw that Africa and Latin America has always the smaller, over 5 years, they have only smaller meetings. And Asia, for example, where they have the small isles of Pacific that won't to organize meetings in of ICANN. They don't have an opportunity because they have only A and C meetings. So I wonder if Nick, you can change a little bit the distribution and make it one big meeting for Africa over 5 years and one big meeting for Latin America over 5 years, while you have two big meetings for the other regions. This will be more balanced, and this give the opportunity to the small islands of Asia, of Pacific, to hold the meetings of ICANN.
Perhaps it's not quite so obvious, but I have already taken into consideration that Latin America clearly does have the facilities to host a large ICANN meeting. And it's accounted for in that chart. And after our conversation yesterday, Tijani, the answer is yes. I will adjust my thinking, if you will, about Africa, because we do know that Africa also has facilities for large meetings. What this is an attempt to show you how we might accomplish this ABC rotation. And again, to your point, Southeast Asia, clearly is another opportunity to place a B meeting. So this is a work in progress. It is a this is just a representative chart. The meeting strategy working group has given staff the latitude, and I said this once already, but it's worth repeating, has given staff the latitude to place these meetings as appropriate, just so long as we stick to the basic fundamental principle of geographic rotation. And we will do that. And it gives me the good opportunity, Edmund, to talk with you about where and when you would like to host a meeting and perhaps build a schedule that accommodates those needs. I've already had a conversation today with .JP, who would also like to host an ICANN meeting. So it'll open up the opportunity to begin today to talk about 2016 through 2021 without the constraints that we have of the strict regional rotation that we've traditionally maintained.
We have one more question, I think one versus two, we'll find out, online, and it's from Michelle Chaplow again. She asks if the meeting strategy working group work is now complete, or will it continue through to implementation?
Now, the answer is it's complete. It's now in the end of the staff. We are here to support, to help, to and if one day you need to have the meeting strategy working group coming back to be reorganized, to be it will be done. But I really think that it's in the safe and capable hand of the staff. And we, for once, we are the reverse. We are here to support, and then. I don't see any reason why we will have to reconvene the meeting strategy working group, but if we need, we will do it. There is no doubt about that. Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, we had another question from Eberhard Blocker. I know I'm saying that wrong, so I apologize. Asking, while I understand the logic behind the scheme, I have a feeling that Africans might not like being relegated to hosting category B. So I was hoping we've sort of answered this already, and if not, please go ahead and extend your question online.
I will try to answer this question. You know, the situation was we don't organize any more meeting in Africa, or we organize, we try to find a way to have an ICANN meeting organized not just in Africa, but in country in this world where we were not able to come to go before. Then it's not something, we need to take that as a positive step, because in the beginning of the discussion, we might have decided we just do 3 meetings a year, but we go in Singapore, Istanbul, and Los Angeles, and that's it. Then as usual, it's you have plus and minus, and you have to try to accommodate that. And I understand that it could have some, it could raise some question, but I hope that the way we have set it up, it's not a punishment, it's a reverse. It's that we take into account the reality of the country. And I will add one point. It's that the B meeting, it's maybe the more useful for a country to be organized, because we will have a setup to do outreach in the B meeting. And that's also a progress. And you can't say that it's a smaller meeting. It's just a different type of meeting, differently organized, and take the good part of that and not just say, oh, yes, but we will not have 3,000 people coming to my continent. You will get much better, I think, than just people coming. We will outreach, and we will do things. For example, when we was in Durban, I don't remember if it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, when the part of the community went to paint a school. That will be something we can imagine to do in the frame of the B meeting. And to be close to the community, to be open to the community, I guess it's a good win and not a lose at all. Thank you.
Okay, we have no more questions online. Do we have any more questions in the room, or do we have any more questions for them?
I think we'll wrap it up.
Okay, we will wrap it up. Thank you to everybody in the room and everybody who participated online. We appreciate your participation.